that the series was started last month, and this is our God, and I trust that we've been able to go back to get the messages. Let me say that usually, scientifically, they have discovered that the content or the amount that you are able to assimilate by time is usually less than what you think. And so God's word bears a repetition, which is constantly hearing. Faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the full picture and the thoughts that God wants to pass across, usually when the word of God is going forth, there are thoughts that the Spirit of God will bear witness within your heart because you've exposed your heart to the word of God. So I want to implore and encourage us that don't let this just be another series. Let it be a series that will bring about a transformation in your mind and a change in your life so that you'll be able to walk in the knowledge of who God really is as a father to you, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the full expression of God's love towards us as believers. Amen. So you just listen, particularly my own style of teaching. It's important that you listen over and over again. A lot of things are said that you may not necessarily grasp at the moment when it's said. So you need to go back and hear over and over again. Amen? All right. Psalm 103. We'll start from Psalm 103. We brought out one or two. Psalm 103, because of our time, let's just jump straight to verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment. Excuse me. I don't like the way I'm sounding. It's an echo. There's a feedback that makes me sound like I'm saying things twice. Can you all hear me very well? Can you all hear me at the back? Can you all hear me very well? Very well, okay. All right, let me just go. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Now, we established the fact that there were two realms of reality that was available. The first one was the ways of God, which God revealed unto Moses. And we need to understand that Moses is a unique and peculiar character in the scriptures. Why do we say that? Several times in the Gospels, Jesus referred to Moses and the law of Moses, making a distinction between Moses and the law of Moses. Moses was unique because many times also they refer to Moses and the prophets. Yet we know Moses himself was a prophet. So why wasn't generalized? There are several reasons which, as we go on, we're able to unravel. But notice something in Psalm 103. There are two realms of realities available. The Bible says God made known his way unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. In other words, the children of Israel had access to the acts of God, but Moses understood his ways. So the only one who really understood the interpretation behind everything that God did was Moses. Moses knew God's ways, and notice the Bible says that God made known, or he revealed his ways unto Moses. And that is consistent with the revelation of the New Testament. That which may be known of God has to be revealed before it is known. In other words, God, through his mercy and grace, makes himself known unto individuals right from the beginning of time in order for them to successfully walk with him. And that walk is what we call the walk of faith. In other words, whatever God reveals to man by time is what serves as the substance of that person's faith. So the Bible says, it made known his ways unto Moses, its acts unto the children of Israel. And the problem with that is this. Every time people saw the acts of God without understanding his ways, it's like seeing somebody do something without knowing the reason for it. Now, when you don't know the reason for it, you are likely to misjudge it or to misinterpret the reason or the intention behind it. But Moses knew God enough to know his ways. But the children of Israel only knew his acts. Now, we said something also. What was revealed to Moses? Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That was the revelation that Moses had. And so, again, we quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Well, we're going to say some things that may shock your religious sensibility a little bit, but then again, receive the meekness, the engrafted word, amen, and allow it to renew your mind. And so, the Bible says the secret things, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. This was something that was said by the children of Israel. They said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children
forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, notice this statement was made by children of Israel. Notice the phrasing. This is not something to be proud of. Because what they were implying was this, that there were certain things about God that was not made available to them. But Moses knew those things. He now says, those things which are revealed, what were the things that were revealed to them? What was revealed to them were the words of this law, which is the writing of the book of the law, which Moses handed over to them. That was what they knew about God. It was what Moses gave them as representing God. But they agreed, or they suspected, that listen, the secret thing. So they knew that obviously there must be some things that Moses knew that was not fully communicated to them. Now, again, let me put it this way. It wasn't that those things were not meant to be communicated. It was that when an attempt was made to communicate it, it was rejected by them. Hallelujah. It was rejected by them. And so when he said secret things, because they observed, you see, the activities of man are not necessarily what brings about consequence. It is the state of that man's heart. There were things that they did and they suffered for it, that Moses did and there was no punishment for it. So they knew that Moses obviously must have known certain things. For instance, in the book of Moses, not in the Ten Commandments. We're going to make a distinction. There were the Ten Commandments. There were also the writings of Moses, or the book of the law. In the Ten Commandments, all the Ten Commandments God gave them, none of them had a curse attached to them. But in the book of the law that Moses gave them, curses were attached. What did God give the nation of Israel? Ten Commandments. What did Moses give? The book of the law. Which one had a curse? The book of the law. So according to Moses' book of the law, if you marry somebody who is your next of kin, die. But Moses, or Abraham, married his half-sister, and Abraham didn't die. If you marry somebody that's not a member of the nation of Israel, there was punishment for it. But Moses married another woman, and Moses didn't die. If you came into God's presence unannounced, without being a priest, without being invited to come, die. But Moses went in back and forth, without any priest representing him. And the presence of God didn't kill him. Think about it. So when he said the secret things belong to the Lord our God, it means there were certain things that were communicated to Moses that Moses knew, that constituted faith in Moses' heart that enabled his work with God. Remember that when God called Moses out of the burning bush, that was God's presence in manifestation. But at the time God was calling him, 40 years after he had fled Egypt, Moses was a murderer. And the presence of God that appeared to him in the bush did not kill him. What did the children of Israel know about God? That if we come near this presence, we shall surely die. Now, look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let me show you one or two things. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Look at what Moses said to them. Deuteronomy chapter 5 from verse 1. I want us to understand these things very clearly. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak into your ears these days, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord our God, listen carefully, made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers. Who are their fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Moses is bringing about a distinction. God made a covenant with us on Horeb. What covenant was talking about? Ten Commandments. But he said this particular covenant was not made with our fathers. Now, you need to realize that why did God deliver Israel from Egypt? It was not because of Israel. It was because of the fathers, or Abraham, to fulfill his promise. And as we go on, we'll be able to see the difference between the law and the promise. The law emphasizes man's ability to please God. The promise is based on God giving man enough knowledge to please him. I'm going to say that again. The law emphasizes man's ability to meet up to God's standard. The promise is entirely dependent on the integrity of God and his ability to perform. So whatever God spoke to Abraham, that he spoke to Moses, was based on promise, not on the law. Wherever you see the law, it requires two sides. Wherever you hear promise, it requires only one side. And so whatever Abraham found was a promise of what God will do. And so Abraham's walk with God was never at any time based on performance. But the law speaks fully of performance. And the Bible says, and cursed is everyone that continues not in all that is written in the book of the law. And that book of the law is not the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. Amen. It was not we mix them together. So look at what Moses told them. He said, look at verse 3 again. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at the time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid. Look at that. By reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in earth, in that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my covenant. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In him thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thy ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, nor thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest, that thy manservant and maidservant may rest as well as thou. I remember that thou was a servant land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand by his straight hand. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Then he continues, honor thy father thy mother, and then all the way down. But here's what I want you to say. Verse 22. This was the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. Is that in your Bible? Did God add any other thing to it? So whatever else you read from that time forward, from Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, it was added by Moses. Listen carefully. Because it's important for you to understand why we don't practice the law. Moses is giving a testimony here. This is all God said. This is what was described. In fact, when you see the Ten Commandments, it looks like more than the actually ten. The rest are explanations of that same Ten Commandments. Then he says, this is what the Lord that God spoke. So the whole nation of Israel had God. Who initiated it? God. He told Moses, tell them on the third day, I will speak to all of them. Then they began to react. Why was God talking to them that way? That was the way he was used to speaking to Moses. So whatever he offered Moses, he offered them, they rejected it. Let's read on. See what it says. Verse 23. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice of out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he, when God speaks with men, what happens to the man? Okay, look at the next verse. You need to understand the people that God was dealing with. You will now understand why Moses said they are stiff-necked and rebellious. Look at what happens next. Now, therefore, why should we die? Is that in your Bible? Did they die when God spoke? What did they think will happen if God speaks? Listen, what did they think will happen? Did they die? Now, so, even when the experience was contrary to what they thought, they still did not believe. Look at what they said again. It says, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. Did the fire consume them? Now listen carefully. The fire that they said will consume them was a fire that Moses used to go into and out of. This was a fire that, so that you wouldn't think only Moses, at a particular point in time, as Moses went in, Joshua also went in. When Moses came out, Joshua stayed. And Joshua didn't die. This was the same fire. So the manifestation of it was the act. But Moses, who knew what he heard about God, what did he have about God? That God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in. So since he knew that, the fire did not burn, because the fire is not meant to burn. But look at what they said. Did they hear God's voice? Yes. The whole nation. Let me say something else. Moses gave them the priesthood and selected the tribe. But the plan of God was that the whole nation of Israel be priests, everyone. which is they have a standing before God. Where did they reject God's provision on this day? Why should we die? For this fire will surely consume us. And they had heard God speak the way they will hear Moses. From that day, they never heard God's voice again. It was a choice. They rejected it. Hallelujah. Only Moses. In fact, they told Moses, you know what? You are familiar with him. This fire is terrible. You go. In their heart, they're like, at least if somebody should die, it should be you. You brought us from that place. We're comfortable. We're eating leek, garlic, cucumber, and onion. You brought us here. And the way you are strolling through this fire, cuckoo stay there. Whatever he says, and that's where the problem is. Because there are many things God didn't say that was Moses who said it became the book of the law. Notice what Moses said there. God spoke all these 10 commandments and added no more. So certain things were added that constitute a curse. So in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, I hope we will come here. It now says, and it shall come to pass. And we have declared it as a blessing. But notice carefully, it shall come to pass. If thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all that he commands this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the heart, and these blessings shall come upon you. The blessings were not upon them, they will come. What's the condition? If thou shalt hearken diligently. What else? To observe and to do. How many? All. That this blessing shall come. Is that a blessing or a curse? It's a curse. Why is it a curse? You can't do all. Because all is much. All was given to you. To show that you cannot do all. What did he give to Moses? I am the Lord. Merciful and gracious. I will have mercy. On him upon I will have mercy. That was the revelation that Moses had when Moses told God, show me your glory. So Moses saw God's glory and lived. God wanted to do the same for them. They withdrew. Even after they were alive. You need to know when the Bible says they were stiff-necked and rebellious. To rebel means to be faced with the truth and to deliberately turn against it. That's what it means to rebel. It's more than to turn against authority. It means to be faced with the truth. To understand the truth and then to turn away from it. They refused to be persuaded. Even after they had the experience, they heard the voice of God out of the fire. And yet, they refused to be convinced that this fire, no, maybe this one was just a coincidence. The next time he speaks, we shall surely die. And notice, it was what they believed that began to experience. So, when God said those things, said that, this blessing shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt one hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Go back to verse 1, please. I want to show you something. It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. Notice what it says. To what? The voice of one? To observe and to do commandment. Which? Who commands it? Who is I? Uh-huh. So don't be fooled with the first part. It shall come to pass when you, if you didn't hearken to do all that God commands. You say, it is I that command you this day. In other words, when they had the opportunity to believe the gospel, the good news, what was the good news? That God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy, and they rejected it, what was given to them? The law. What do you give to people who are spiritually dead? People who don't have faith or who refuse to walk by faith? The law. You give them the law. Or you give them a set of rules that will assuage their conscience, but that will continually, constantly condemn them. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? Now, so it's important. The revelation, therefore, that Moses had exempted Moses from certain things. So you cannot judge the actions of men and weigh the consequences that they should be the same. Because the actions of men are predicated on what is in their hearts. And so there are certain things that men did because they knew God and they believed God and they experienced God's mercy, which is God's true nature. And some others did the same and they died. The question is, why did they die? Did God kill them? Now, let's listen carefully. Who was Moses before he met God? He was a murderer. When he met God, did he die? Did he die? Let me say this again. Sinners don't die in God's presence. Sinners don't die in God's presence. Go back to Romans chapter 4. You know, when you're sharing some of these things, your mind is going in many, many places. You are pulled in many directions at one time. every statement that he said. You feel like sitting down with it and explaining that and leaving the rest to you. Romans chapter 4, are you there? Verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, has pertaining to the flesh had found? Who is Abraham? Our father has pertaining to the flesh. He's going to make a distinction because they are the old nation of Israel were descendants of Abraham according to the flesh. But not all of them were regarded by God as actual descendants. So the old nation of Israel were descendants of Abraham according to the flesh, but a few of them were descendants of Abraham according to faith. According to faith. So he says, our father concerning pertaining flesh had found, for if Abraham were justified by works, he has wealth to glory, but not before God. For once said the scripture, Abraham believed God, and he was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham married his half sister. Why didn't he die? Number one, there was no law. Number two, Abraham believed God. What did Abraham believe of God? What was revealed to him? What was revealed unto Abraham? Come out from your kingdom, from your family, unto a land to which I will show you, and I will bless thee and make of thee a great nation. What Abraham had was what produced faith. What was that faith? What was the substance of that faith? Look at what it says next. Verse 4, now to him that walketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of death, but to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifies thee on... Who was Abraham when God met him? Ungodly. What did Abraham believe? That God is a specialist as justifying the ungodly. In other words, the person that met God, which is Abraham, was still ungodly when he met God. What did God do? Abraham believed God, and God justified him even though he was ungodly. To be ungodly means to be godless, to be secular, to be a wicked person. It means that at that point in time, the acts and the activity of Abraham did not line up with the righteousness that God gave him. It means, therefore, there was a different platform that God used to accrue righteousness to Abraham's account. So the Bible says that this is what Abraham did. To him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, is faith, is acceptance, is embracing of what God has provided was counted for righteousness. Hallelujah. That was what Moses found. That was what David also discovered. That there was a righteousness which is of faith in Christ Jesus, futuristic, that the saints of old discovered that God did not hold any of their actions against them. Let me say this. When we are teaching on this, we are not excusing sin. Certain scriptures are sacrosanct. The wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God, hallelujah, is eternal life. Through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are saying that it is not that sin is no longer important. We are saying that God personally paid the price for it. For the demands of justice must be satisfied. The claims of justice must be satisfied. And it was satisfied fully in the sacrifice of Jesus. So when God was justifying Abraham, Abraham was looking forward to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That the Redeemer will come. So when he was offering Isaac, what was he seeing? He was seeing Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said to the Pharisees, your father Abraham, John chapter 8 verse 56, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. So Abraham, being the prophet, saw that his offering up Isaac was a shadow, was a type of God handing over his only son. Remember that when God was telling him about Isaac, he said, take your son, thine only son. But in the natural, was Isaac Abraham's only son? No. It means therefore that Ishmael, who was Abraham's natural descendant, was not counted as far as the promise was concerned. And though we may not go into that today, but remember, it's very interesting. Which one came first? No, let me give you a small teaser. When God promised Abraham, was Ishmael around? What did God speak to Abraham about having a child? You are going to have a child, isn't it? According to promise. How did Ishmael come? Promise or flesh? When did Isaac come? Before Ishmael or after Ishmael? Okay. That is a picture. The New Testament, listen carefully, is what God offered to Abraham first. But the manifestation of what came first was the law or the Ten Commandments. Let me say the Ten Commandments. It was after the Ten Commandments that Christ came. Do you understand what I just said? So Abraham never lived according to the law. What did he live by? The promise. What was the promise? He believed on him that justifies the ungodly. How was God going to do it? Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Very important that we understand that. So, again, look at what David also said. Even as David also, verse 6, describes the righteousness of the man unto whom God imputes what? Righteousness without works. Did you see that? In other words, the primary way God designed of dealing with men, when he spoke to them by promise, was that God will deal with them in faith and impute righteousness to them without their corresponding works. So all the time that God was dealing with Abraham was not dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. He simply believed God. In other words, he believed that God was gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and by believing that, it was imputed to him for righteousness. The Bible now says even David also, which means David also found the same principle. So those that the Bible refers to are children of faith are those who found that same principle of faith that Abraham found. In fact, they were walking in the steps or the principles of faith that Abraham found. So Romans chapter 4 says that, what then did Abraham find? So Abraham didn't create it, he discovered it. Look at Romans chapter 10. Because the difference is, so why? It seems as though when it comes to performance and works, there's a slippery click bank for a lot of believers. We keep sliding inside it. We keep trying to see how much we can do. And I emphasize what do to please God. And we have this schizophrenic mindset that once we don't do, God's mind changes. Any being whose mind changes because of your actions is not worthy to be called God. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you know what that means? It means the sons of Jacob were stiff-necked. And what they deserved was destruction. But because of what God had promised to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. It means if I change in a single instant, you are gone. Let me put it another way. If I give you the measure of what you deserve and not what I promised Abraham, you won't be here. That's what God said. Say, but I change now, which is, I am not going to be good because you are good. I am good independent of your actions. That's what God is. We need to see all this. I didn't pray yesterday, and so this morning I felt weak. I felt that God was far away. The answer is in your statement. You felt. Cast away your feelings. Embrace the truth. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So that you, say me, can boldly say. Notice when God says, I will never leave you, it's not for him, it's for you. So you can have something to hang on to and say, I will never leave you and forsake you. And notice he didn't put any condition, except you still, I will leave. Who puts the condition? You are following Moses again. Adding conditions. What did Moses tell the children of Israel? These 10 things the Lord just discussed, and he added no more. So when you read the epistles, don't hard. Tell your neighbor, don't hard. In your mind, don't hard. And don't hard. Don't add to it. Let the truth justify your emotions. Don't hard to it. It is good and his mercy endures forever. And in Romans chapter 10, let's read from verse 1 so it can make sense. Romans 10 from verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to... What knowledge is he talking about? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. So there were secret things about God that till today the nation of Israel does not know. What was that secret thing? Moses knew it. David knew it. Abraham knew it. Jacob was a swindler, but he knew it. Have you ever thought about it? While Jacob went about deceiving his father to receive the blessing still came. I don't know. Do you understand what's going on? You think about it. Did Jacob lie? Did he deceive his father? Was God deceived? Aha. Think about it. Because God can be deceived, God could simply have said, Isaac, shut your mouth. Don't talk. When Isaac opens his mouth, the blessings flow out. Yes. In fact, it flew down so strongly, by the time Esau came And then I say, give me, can't you just, is it not with your mouth? Just open your mouth and say something. He said, I have blessed him and he shall be blessed. It was not empty words. There was unction. And he was a swindler. And the blessing rested. Why? Righteousness of faith. That's what they found. So he said, they are zeal. Lust for the things of God, but not according to knowledge. So you can have zeal and be headed in the right direction. See what he says next. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What do with God's righteousness? We submit. When we don't submit, what do we find ourselves doing? Establishing our own. It means that the fact that God is merciful and gracious is God's platform for embracing all men. When you reject that platform, you will need to create your own. So when they rejected the gospel that was preached by Moses, Moses gave them the law or a new platform for relating with God. The interesting thing is none of them asked, why didn't Moses submit to that platform or operate under that platform? Because Moses gave the law but never lived by the law. Let me say this again. If you go near the tabernacle of God, you died. If Moses without Aaron went near, he lived. In fact, he was open. You know, Aaron was a priest. Aaron was going to represent the people. Aaron represented the people. He did not represent Moses. do you understand? He was representing the people and he never represented Moses once. Moses just strolled in and strolled out. After a while, Joshua was strolling in and strolling out. Guess what? Only Joshua and Caleb made it out of the original team that came out of Egypt. Why? How did they make it? By faith. Can you see that? So again, let me say, why then were those individuals dying? Was God killing them? If you can't answer that question, there's a problem. Because we notice that in John chapter 8, when they brought a woman caught in act of adultery to Jesus, and Jesus is God in the flesh, Jesus looked at the people that accused and said, he that is without sin, let him throw the first stone. And since there was none of them who was without sin, actually in bringing that woman, they were committing sin. You understand? From their statements, they were sinners. How do we know? We caught this woman in act of adultery, in the very act. How do you catch people in the very act? I thought it was done secretly. They must have been spying. They must have set her up. Then they started going one by one after the accusation. Then Jesus now looked around. Where are those people who are accusing? None. Okay. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. That's what Jesus did to her. Did she die? She didn't die. Then they said something to Jesus. Moses said, which is stone, what do you say? Remember, Jesus will never counter God's word. It means whatever Moses said to them about stoning her was never God's will. Put your hand in this room, chapter 10. Look at Ezekiel. I started last week by quoting a scripture in Romans chapter 3 that says that a righteousness without the law has been testified of by the law and the prophets. So the reason why we keep going back to the prophets and the law is so that you can see that the law and the prophets actually hidden inside them was a testimony of this particular righteousness. Are you in Ezekiel chapter 33? Let's read from verse 11. Are you there? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no. Okay, is that in your Bible? Mark it, mark it. If you have a Bible, you can mark, throw it away. We'll give you one that you can mark. Okay? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from me and stop. Listen carefully. When it says the wicked should turn from his way, don't read it as only stop doing wicked acts. That's not what it's saying, first of all. When it says turn from his way, remember we just read in Romans chapter 10. Verse 4. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own have not submitted themselves unto what? The righteousness. Who are the wicked? Those who have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So when the Bible says should turn from his own way, it means turn from your own way of relating to God, step over into God's way. What's God's way? It's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and what? Plenteousness. Do you understand? So, but look at what it says. It says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So let me put it this way. What was killing those who were committing sin? It was not God. It was their way. Hallelujah. It wasn't God. It was their way. Let me show you another witness. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. Let's go all the way down to
verse 30.
Verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Are you there? And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, and I should not destroy it, but I found none. Somebody asked a question on Wednesday, something about Sodom and Gomorrah and everything. In Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible testifies that three beings came down to visit Abraham. And when they finished conversing and fellowship with Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and said that the sound of the going downs in Sodom and Gomorrah has come up before me, and I'm come down to investigate. And figuratively speaking, the kind of sin that we're practicing in Sodom was not normal or natural sin. Someone said that we want to be sure that it's not that we are missing the signal, that the signal is actually true, that that's really, really going on. You know, it's as though, this is illustration, it's simply illustration. Let's assume in heaven, let's assume God has a particular mechanism that signifies when sin is much, that when sin is strange. And then let's assume whenever it's much, the mechanism just goes bang, 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 bang. Then they now started hearing bah, bah. I was like, no. That means they are manufacturing sin. No. Gabriel, Michael, let's go. Something is going on. Illustration, okay. Don't take that. Now, he was like, can it be possible? We've not heard this kind before from the foundation of the world. So, but again, notice that scripture we just read. As I live, I have no pleasure in death of the sinner. But I turns from his way. If he turns from his way, which way should we step into? Into God's way. Now, listen carefully. When they said that the only person who had a standing before God, remember, in relating with man, man has authority on the earth. The only person God could fellowship with really was Abraham. So here is the challenge. The revelation of God that Abraham had will limit how much authority Abraham can exercise. At that time, Abraham didn't know much. Abraham had never read this scripture that says, I sought for a man among them that will stand up and make the hedge. It was not yet revealed. So when Abraham began to intercede for them, which number did he stop at? I want to whether you know your Bible. Which number? 10 or what? 10. You know, he could have gone to 5. He could have gone to just 1. And God would have listened. Now, notice, why did God allow judgment to fall? I want to show you now. Because some of you just think that if you don't know why, you just believe God is just... Once God just gets angry, he just evaporates. He just gets angry anyhow. But he just testified, I have no pleasure in the death of a sinner. But that he did not have to turn from his way. So what was God saying? Look at the next thing he said. I saw for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in that before me for the land, that I should not what? That phrase, I should not destroy, means that he's about to quote. He will tell you, what does phrase, I should not destroy? What does it mean? Look at the next verse. Therefore, have I poured out my what? Ignition upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my... Look at Allah. What does it say? Their own. The law functions by the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he what? The wages of sin is what? Is a fundamental justice system that always works. The only interruption to that system is when mercy speaks. For mercy rejoices against judgment. So when God said their own ways is, when men believe God, the judgment that is due them is taken over by God and mercy is given them instead. When I say their own way, means that what their actions require, what they listen again, Pastor Lee was sharing something this morning about prayer. The sins of men affects weather patterns in all geographical locations, the sins of men. So don't say think sin is a small matter, because in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were committing two strange sins, homosexuality and bestiality. How many of you know what bestiality is? I will have you simple concerning evil. So if you say you don't know, I'm glad. Don't go and find out. Okay. All right. Bestiality means copulating with animals. They were practicing it. they're practicing homosexuality. They were practicing sexuality there. When angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah, they wanted to sleep with the angels. And Lot had been so affected by what they were doing that he even offered his own daughters without thinking twice. So you can imagine that that man was gradually sleeping also. But if Abraham had known God enough to say, what if we can find just one man? Abraham stopped at 10, thinking, listen carefully, he had exhausted God's mercy. He didn't know the mercy was so great. If he had said, what if there is one, my own cousin? God would have said, because of him, I won't touch them. Did they decide to be destroyed? Yes. But because of that one man. So God said, I sought for a man that will make up the edge. So it matters the kind of man that God finds and how much he knows of God. That will determine whether their way will be recompensed. Which is the reward of their iniquity should be given to them. You know, it's like saying that if I jump up, I won't come down. No, you must come down. If you don't come down, it's not one of those things. Something must be suspending you, Egbe, or something. If I jump from this roof, Pastor, will I fall? Surely, in falling, you will fall. Without prayer. It's love, consequence, action, and consequence. So, when this is the wages of sin is death, it is the law that will set the motion. Sowing and reaping. And that's law of sin, and that's how it operates. Mercy is an interjection, it's a higher law. A higher law suspends a lower one. And mercy is a higher law in God than love, sin and death. So when it says their own way have I recompensed, it's talking about the fact that as long as they are ignorant of God's mercy, they will keep dying and they will keep being destroyed. That's what we saw last week. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. We saw Rahab last week. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 31. I've not even said it. Anything I wanted to say today. Jesus is Lord. Are you there? By faith. Say by faith. The harlot. Right. It was deliberately written like that. So that you will know. In case you are trying to fine tune it. The harlot Rahab. What she did was harlotry. Her identity was faith. Did you see that? What she used to do was harlotry. Why she was here. Why she was put here. Because her identity is not that of faith. Because she's not in the lineage of faith. In fact, she was in the lineage that brought Christ. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that what? Believe not. Let me rephrase it. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them because she believed. Did you see that? So why did the others perish? They believed not. What kills sinners? Ignorance of God's mercy and God's goodness. It is never the wrath of God. It is ignorance of God's mercy and God's goodness. Hallelujah. If you understand, let me see your hand. If it's too much, say, Pastor, go back a little. They've been ignorant of God's righteousness. Let's go back to Romans chapter 10. We'll come back here. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. They've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. Verse 5 again. Go back to verse 5 now. Verse 5, sorry. Is that verse 5? The Bible says, they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own, have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. Remember, what did Abraham find? God's righteousness. What did that righteousness say? God justifies the ungodly. What did Abraham do? He submitted himself to it. So Abraham did not change his actions. He submitted to God's activity. What was God's activity? In blessing, I will bless you. Then there was no condition. If you, the only condition was believe. This is who I am. In blessing, I will bless you. That was Abraham submitting. Look at what it says next. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Next verse, please. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall what? Live by them. Look at the next verse. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on these words. Guess who also said this one? Moses. Which one did Moses first say? He described the righteousness of the law. The man who does those works of the law, he will have to continue living by them. He now says, the same Moses now said, but the righteousness which is of faith. This was quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. It was Moses who also said this. Let me put it this way. Moses preached two kinds of righteousness. He preached the one of the law. He preached the one that comes by faith in Christ Jesus. They rejected the second. He gave them the other one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They rejected the righteousness which is of faith. It was Moses who preached both. The righteous wicked shall face speaking by, say not in your heart. That's how it operates. You simply say, what are you saying? You are using words to embrace what God has said. You are not trying to do anything. So the first one you have to do to be accepted. The second one you have to embrace that you already accepted. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? Okay, because of our time, let me just, because there's so much. Rahab the harlot did not perish with the others. Why did they perish? They believed not. So by believing, men enjoyed exemption from calamity, which will naturally have come, but their faith preserved them or brought them out of the consequences of their actions. Did they do wrong actions? Yes. But according to God's law, wrong actions is not sufficient to ensure you facing wrong consequences. The mercy of God in Christ Jesus prevails. Hallelujah. This is what Abraham found, that God justifies the ungodly without works, without moral standing, without the right actions. God justifies the ungodly. How did Moses walk with God? By faith. It was not by law. In fact, his name is in this Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Look at verse 25. Or 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Next verse, 25 now. Choosing rather to suffer what? Affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for his sin. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than what? The treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the what? Recompense of the reward. Did Moses knew about Christ? Yes. They were part of the secret things that was not revealed to the Israelites that Moses knew. Moses knew Christ. Moses saw Christ. Moses believed in Christ paying for his sins. That was what he tried to preach and they rejected. That was what was trying to open them up to that. Listen, as I delivered you from Egypt, for the time God sent Moses to them to deliver them, when they were being delivered, they kept no law. It was when they left Egypt that God spoke to them about 10 commandments. There was no commandment before they left. None. God just delivered them. In fact, if you study how they left Egypt, listen carefully, because people don't change overnight. Before they left, they were stiff-necked. They were rebellious. At the slightest trouble, they started reacting. But none of them died. Somebody says, why? There was no law. How was God dealing with them? By grace. Because of what I told Abraham, will deliver you. I will bring you out. Not because you have done right, but because I have made a promise to Abraham. So he brought them out. How did he bring them out? Bible says, by a mighty hand. What does he mean by a mighty hand? You know the Red Sea parted. Okay. The way they were reacting when there was no food and when there's no water. Do you think that when Moses was bringing 3 million plus people out of Egypt, you think they will not murmur? Do you think that kind of people will see Red Sea and will enter? You know, think just think. Do you think they will enter? When Moses, by faith, they walked through. It was not natural faith. God, by a mighty hand, gave everyone special faith. Everyone. Listen, these people, Jochebed we talk. As we pass man, he sees fish here. Yeah. Well, yeah. Moses. Did we beg you to come? Go back to the wilderness. What is this again? As they were saying, because these are people that Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. Look at God's testimony of these people. Some testimonies are some things that God will say, you're like, is this how they were? But it's in the Bible. I'm saying so many things, I'll tie them up. And this is what God said: I will hide my face from them, from who? From children of Israel. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward, what? Children in whom is no. Can you see that? How does faith come? And anyone? Why were they given the law? They were children in whom is no faith. Which children? Why are they? He's finding them as children in what light? They were children naturally of Abraham. But everyone who was the child of Abraham by faith were blessed, or they did not have sins imputed to them because they were children of Abraham. But this one says, children in whom is no faith. When you notice that somebody doesn't have faith or they refuse to walk with God, what do you give them? The law.
Hallelujah.
And Galatians 3:12 says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does it shall live by it. Galatians 3:12, the law is not of faith. The bad part is this. The same Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can imagine. It means there is no man that can please God by the law. None. Only faith pleases God. What is faith? You believe he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That's who our God is. That's what he wants you to believe. It's the only way you can enjoy the inheritance and all the provision. It's the only way you can enter into rest and stop struggling. It's the only way you can master your emotions and not think because you feel down, God must have deserted you. No. Since where you are was not something you got by the work of your hands, then the work of your hands cannot change where you are. It is by grace, through faith. So it's by faith, through grace. It's important that you understand that this is how God deals, and that's God's personality. And everyone, because if you don't know, you will say God is partial. Yes, he is. To those who know that he's merciful and gracious. He's slow to hunger and plenteous in mercy. That's who God is. God said these were children who have no faith. So Abraham gave them certain things because of the nature of their hearts. In fact, Jesus further says it in Matthew chapter 19. You have many scriptures today, it's good. Matthew chapter 19 from verse 3. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 19 from verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him. Matthew chapter 19 verse 3. Tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Some questions are strange. Did you see? It's in the Bible. These people were very strange people. The Pharisees of the days of Jesus have not changed from the Israelites who left Egypt. They are still stiff-necked. Children in whom is no faith. Look at the question. For every cause. This food is not tasty. Leave my house. Leave my house from today. I want another wife. This food is not. Why is the food she cook is not sweet? The next thing is leave my house. He said for every cause. That's the question they were asking him. Look at what Jesus answered. He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning. Don't discount that word. At the beginning, they're talking about from Genesis. How he originally said it. Before Moses ever lived, before he could really write any law, he made them male and one female. Next verse. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Look at next verse. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has what? Let no man. Look at verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then? Why are they quoting Moses? All their trust and confidence is in Moses. But the same thing that Moses did was what Jesus used to answer their question every single time. Telling them, you don't understand Moses or his writings. Why did Moses then say, look at Moses, he commanded that we should give a writing of divorcement and to put her away. Look at what Jesus said. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. The word suffered means allowed you. Let me ask this question. What does it mean to allow them? It means it was already in their hearts. It was not according to law. It was what they wanted to do. He now says, just go and do what is in your heart. That's why he gave. Moses allowed what is in their heart to play out. It wasn't God. Can you see? Are you following? It's important that you get this. Moses, because of Nene, suffered you put away. But from the beginning, it was not so. So there were things Moses said and did that had nothing to do with the will of God. It was the will of the people. He says, because of the hardness of your heart or your unpersuadableness, your refusal to be persuaded. What did they refuse to persuade about? Men and female created in them. What God has joined together. Let no man, they refuse to be persuaded by that truth. So he now suffered them. Can you see that? So again, there's a difference between what Moses as a person did, what his writings communicated, what the will of God is, and what the true nature of God is. Very important that we understand. If we don't understand that, again, your view of God will not be complete. Your understanding of your walk with God will be unstable Because again, many things that you are meant to have liberty to do, to walk in, you won't be able to because your view of God is skewed. That's why 1 John chapter 4, look at 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. Look at what it says. When the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. The things were revealed to David, they were revealed to Moses, revealed to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It affected their walk with God. In the New Testament, how can we define it? Look at it. But there is no fear in love. Why wasn't Moses afraid of the fire? There was a revelation Moses had. That revelation is what the Bible calls love here. There's no fear in that revelation. Love is revelation of God and His fullness. There's no fear in that love. But perfect love or perfect revelation of God actually cast out fear. It means if you see God as He really is, how merciful and true, you will no longer be afraid a day in your life. Hallelujah. This is what Abraham found. This is the foundation upon which Abraham blessed Isaac. And Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. And Joseph prophesied about their leaving Egypt. It was the foundation of this kind of love, or the revelation of God's goodness. It says, perfect love cast off it, because fear has torment. So, another way of defining love is this. Sorry, fear is this. Incomplete knowledge of God. Are you following so far? Incomplete knowledge. He that feareth is not what? Made perfect, or doesn't have a full revelation of God's goodness. Doesn't have a full revelation. Moses did. Moses did some very strange things. But Pastor, it was God that killed Moses. No. God didn't kill him. God advised him, go and die. Moses, lie down. Give up. Because Moses said, this day I'm 120 years old. My natural force is not updated. Neither is my hindsight dream. But according to God's plan and purpose, there are some things that are going to happen. He just climbed up the mountain and willfully died by himself. Just went up to go and die. Now, that's not our subject, but if we go into a certain eschatology, we'll look at one of the reasons why Moses, what he represents. Why it was 120 years exactly. There's something that represents in eschatology. Study of end time events. There's something it represents. Okay? The years of man, or 50 golden jubilees upon the earth. We don't want to go into all that today. We'll have to go into the principle of when Peter said, 1,000 years, a day before the Lord is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like one day. There are principles in scriptures that unfold and wrap some of those things. But we're saying that the man Moses enjoyed grace, enjoyed mercy. David found it out. And God did not change his mind about David and his plans for David, even when David messed up big time. He did not. What David did was wrong. But God's mercy was stronger. And that's why it's still called the seed of David. Even Jesus is still called the son of David. Even today. He's not called the son of Jesse, son of David. Because of what David found. David knew being on the throne had nothing to do with his qualification. He was a shepherd boy. He was able to conquer Goliath. He knew, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that he may boldly say. Because David once said, even if I make my bed in hell, you are there. That's a revelation. Perfect love or revelation cast out. Yes, even if I make my hell, you know what it means? If I make my bed in hell, hell will no longer be hell since you will be there too. Elijah, why won't you go to hell? Jesus will need to go. For he that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified, they are all one. Wherefore is not ashamed to call you brethren. If you are judged, he too will need to be judged because you are brethren. He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. One spirit. Hallelujah. One spirit with him. These are truths that we need to imbibe. Assimilate. Let it settle. Let it sink in. It will enrich your prayer life. We're going to start our fasting and prayer this week from Tuesday. When you pray, pray with passion. Pray with fervency. Understand that even God's ability is waiting on the prayer of the saints to be released fully. It's a tremendous responsibility. Pastor Oli quoted a scripture there. I think it was Pastor Oli quoted there. A man that is in honor and knoweth it not. Say, I'm in honor. God put me in honor through Christ Jesus. I'm in honor. You are forever accepted in the courts of God. Forever. You are His presence. You are His glory. The revelation of New Testament is Christ in you is a hope of glory. Not Christ outside of you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. This is our God. Hallelujah. So as we go on, we'll begin to show certain things. Also, we'll look at another scripture so that I speak about. Because again, Moses preached the gospel to them. He did. He attempted to. But they were stiff-necked. No one needs to be stiff-necked. It means to be unyielding. To take a stand and not to yield. And their stance was wrong. They've been ignorant of God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own. They've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And because they didn't submit, sin was imputed. What's the implication? The wages of sin is death. Why were they dying? They were ignorant of God's mercy. And so death came. In fact, their ignorance allowed the enemy to roam freely in their camp and to kill many of them. And they thought it was God. It wasn't God. They were ignorant of the mercy of God and his goodness. And as long as they stayed ignorant, that ignorance cost them. Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. And fear brings the enemy under sin. But when you know him, like you ought to know him, your Father, who is merciful, who has no pleasure in the death of any sinner, but that everyone will turn, you are confident, you are bold. We love him because he first loved us. Let's lift up our hands and bless his name this morning.